Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anybody has a cell phone or any other audible device, if you'd silence them now, is not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We appreciate it. And you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number three. This is discussion of possible action. This is approval of the agenda for this date, November the 7th, 2017. Do you have any changes or corrections that we make to today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Under the consent agenda, item F for Eduardo Candido, we would like to remove that item from the agenda.
Mr. Osborne, were we going to continue item 18 today?
18. Mr. Chairman, we're going to continue it, but I would like to ask that we do it in formality at the 18 item and
okay.
Not do it now.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. All right, any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve this with the removal of item F under Roman numeral 7 of the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for November 7, 2017, noting the removal of item B under consent agenda number 6, the Roman numeral number 7, item F. In regards to Eduardo Candido.
Good. I have a second on the motion.
Second.
Move to second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for September the 9th, 2017. Any public comment regarding the minutes? Any board comments regarding the minutes? Motion for approval?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for September 19th, 2017.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes September the 19th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item number 5, discussion of possible action. This is approval of the minutes for October the 3rd, 2017. Any public comment regarding the minutes of October the 3rd? Hearing none, motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for October 3rd, 2017.
Second?
Second.
Moved to second to approve the minutes for October the 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving along now to item number 6. This is the consent agenda. Any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
Second on that?
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 7. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Let's see here. Why don't we start on the right side of the building there? And Sergeant Kern?
Her chief deputy has nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
Down the boy, the one, two from the horse group.
Okay. What's that? The Virginia Range 1?
Virginia Range Wildlife Protection. Yeah,
that would be. Okay. Okay. Kind of a small staff today. Val, would you like to come up today and speak for the
VRPA?
Sorry, Carol, I forgot to remind you and you forgot, sorry.
My name is Valerie LaBelle Flatley. I live in the Highlands and I am a member of VRPA. And first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your support for our wild horses, because you know what's going on right now with the Department of Agriculture. And Lance, especially, that you wrote a letter to the NDA copying the governor, requesting their support for the cooperative agreement. I know this. There's no action to be taken, but possibly on the 25th, that's the deadline. That's the 30-day termination notice when it will end. So perhaps another letter might be appropriate. If all the commissioners could sign it and send it to the governor supporting the action to rescind the termination, that would give us a little more clout. And I want to thank Chris Thompson, who you're going to be at the rally tomorrow. Okay, and the rally, if anyone doesn't know, it is tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Governor's Mansion, the Capitol Building, 101 Carson Street in Carson City. So if we can post this somewhere, I don't know if it's appropriate to post it, but put it up. We've put messages out on the chat site. So anyway, pretty much just thank you, all of you, for your support, because our county government is so important. And we're a small county, but we have a loud voice. So thank you. And also I want to bring up the cattle guards again in Lockwood. I will never get rid of them unless I move. They are a constant problem. They have filled up again. They need to be cleaned out. And I spoke with Chris Anderson from Waste Management at Lockwood Night Out a few months back, I guess in August. And I'm pretty sure I'm remembering this correctly. I asked him if he would be amenable to cleaning them out again, and he said yes. So that's a big plus. But the problem is the drainage issue. And I desperately need to speak with Public Works in Story County to see what we can do about it. They're full now. I don't know if there's anything that could be done prior to all the weather coming on us. Probably not, but at least by next spring, if there's something we can do in the meantime, putting up some kind of barriers to divert all the rain and the snow and whatever runs into those cattle guards would be helpful. But that's just a request, if someone can direct me on that and literally go down there with someone from Public Works. It's one of our horses up there. Figure out what to do about the cattle guards.
It's been a while since the cattle guards have been cleaned out.
Well, it was last. You know, I'm losing track of time, Marshall, but last year or the year before, and Chris, it was a huge project back then because they didn't come out because they were bolted in, and then they had to come back, and anyway, it was a mess, but they got cleaned out very nicely, and we had someone in the meantime, another volunteer. It's not rebar. I don't know what it's called, but put in between those rails to protect any little horse that might step into it who wouldn't at least, you know, be badly hurt. Okay. So that was another project that was done.
Well, I'll have Pat go ahead and get with Public Works and see if there's something they can do. We can't divert water. Would we be in it with the state engineer and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, let me, if I may, Jason had a lot on his plate today, so I offered to, between Mike and I, to pick up for him. And he does report on two things going on out there. I believe Commissioner Gilman and Jason toured the area and identified some shoulder work on Perry Ranch Road that needed to be fixed, and he reports those are fixed. There was also a blocked drain pipe that was crushed inadvertently by NV Energy on something they were doing, so he's working with NV Energy to get that one fixed.
Okay.
I'm not sure which ones are where, which ones are adding to the problem with the cattle guards or not, but he is already on it in many respects.
Okay. Well, the cattle guard, especially on Canyon Way, that's the big issue. And that's the major one, I think, where the horses do tend to come across, if they come across at all. Which, by the way, we have not had any reports from Lockwood. We've got volunteers living down there who have not seen any horses coming across and into the community. So whatever we've done is helping a little bit. And we're doing another, going to restripe the cattle guards, putting, who knows if it works, I think it does a little bit on each side of the cattle guards to deter the horses, give them pause, you know, before they walk over. But that cattle guard at Canyon Way, if there's some kind of drainage inside the cattle guard, and it would drain right into the wash, you know. So it's not like anything would have to be built to provide, you know, something for the water. So anyway, it's just an ongoing problem. So unless we get it fixed, you're going to see me every year up
I'll ask
here.
Jason to track you down.
Pardon?
I'll ask Jason to track you down.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that was it. So.
And we like to see you every year too, Bob.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Director of IT, James King.
I have nothing to understand.
Okay. Thank you. Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Nothing to say.
Very good. All right. Director of Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. As you probably noticed, we have a blood drive going outside today in the parking lot. That's from 10 to 12:30. That is in memory of my grandmother. We've been doing that for about 15 years here in town. We've typically done it down at the park. We decided to move it up here this year. Thank you to Pat for allowing us to use that space. So they are taking drop-ins. If you're wanting to give a little bit of blood and helping those in need, we would definitely appreciate it. So on behalf of my family, thank you everyone for donating. We received notification that we'll be receiving around $80,000 in grant funds from State Historic Preservation Office. $50,000 of that, approximately, will be going to St. Mary's Art Center to help them with some structural reporting, and then they've got some drainage issues there. We've got water coming into the building. So we'll work with them on that, and then the rest of the funds are going to go to the Cemetery Foundation to help them reconstruct the porch on the Visitor Center out there. So both of those groups are ecstatic to be receiving this funding. So we'll work with them through the processes of getting everything together. So it'll probably be a month or two before we can get things off the ground. But that's what we're working on.
Right. So the St. Mary's, do we have to match that?
You know, we're being very creative with our match. It can be cash or in-kind. And as you're aware, we provide them community support assistance each year through the budget process. So we're able to use what we give them as the match. So it's going to drastically reduce the amount of match that they'll have to put towards the project. So that's been helpful. That was kind of, again, with the Cemetery Foundation was the same thing. It's great to get these grants, but sometimes the match is hard to come up with because it is 40%. So
is part of this money targeted for the porch?
Yes.
All right. Because that was something we've been working on for a while.
Yeah. So we're going to be working with Mr. Mel Green. He's done some work here in this building and various other buildings throughout the state and throughout the nation for that matter. So he'll give us a nice condition on structural, and then we'll try to address the drainage there with that water coming into the basement. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we don't have quite a winter we had last year, and maybe with some of the improvements they made at the driveway there with the paving, that may make a difference too. So.
All right. Great job. Awesome. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Sherry. All right. Project Manager, Mike Northam.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Northam for the record. I have a couple of projects I want to update you on. We'll start out with a mailbox rehabilitation project at the Highlands, bottom of Cartwright there. I did get a final set of drawings and a final scope of work. I was able to get that up onto the Nevada Blue plan room and have started to generate a little bit of interest. I have a contractor right now who's going to come up and look at that. I did indicate it was site visit mandatory. I want them to look at this project and give us some good numbers. They're also on the hook for their own dimensions, counts, areas, quantities, that kind of thing. So I'll be able to, hopefully we'll get some quotes on that. I'll be able to report back on that soon. On the communication tower project, we did complete a site visit, located depends of the property. It looks like we have a 100-foot wide easement up there. That's going to help us out. It's in pretty rough country. We'll have some options on how we can negotiate through that easement to facilitate the construction of the road. There's potentially some commercial interests that may be able to put substantial resources toward that, so we're going to see how that develops. Big one is the insurance work. There was a huge amount of work that took place over the last 2 weeks. I want to start by saying thank you to all of the agencies, departments, offices, and personnel that's been affected by this work. They've been very patient, very helpful, and the work has been proceeding as a direct result of that help and cooperation from them. Here in the courtroom, demolition and mitigation work is now complete. The building has been environmentally tested and cleared. You'll notice that there were big containments around with running air scrubbers and stuff, so that was finally taken down and things are a little quieter now. I do have the estimator coming up tomorrow. He's going to start verifying quantities, and we can begin to work towards a construction schedule that will fit in with all of the offices here. We do have one office that was completely displaced, so they're going to get a priority on getting that built back in. We did have some work also over at the building department. They opened up the lower level ceiling. Water damage was a bit more extensive than they thought, so that there's quite a bit of the ceiling came down. You'll notice in each one of these workspaces, Belfour has been working in full containments with air scrubbers. Largely, this is due to just dust management. They don't want to go through and have to wipe down the entire building, spread the mess around. In the event that environmental contaminants are discovered, they're already squared away with a full containment system. That building also was tested and environmentally cleared. And on all these, I'm going to be having paperwork probably later today from the lab that will demonstrate that. Upstairs, there was a minor crew miscommunication, which led to a workstation being dismantled and moved. My apologies for that to the affected party. I'll be working over at coordinating their activities and making sure I babysit them a bit more. Last area was the DA's office that was able to get them in there and out of there Saturday and Sunday. Thanks again to personnel from the office granting us access. That went nice and smooth, and again, I'll have the estimator be up here tomorrow. We'll be having a look at that, and we can start organizing a construction schedule for all of these sites. Starting tomorrow morning, they'll be in Station 71. I've coordinated with Chief Nevin to get them access in there and to maintain continuity of operations while those guys are working in there. Any questions for me?
So what scope of construction are you speaking of?
The build back. They've taken out water damaged materials, particularly in here, the ceiling, you know. In here was a little bit special. This is an older building. They discovered not only plaster, it wasn't gypsum, it was actual plaster, and what they called paperboard. So there's great efforts underway to not only match the materials that are there, but they also have to go through SHPO and get all that approved.
Thank you.
If you look, Chuck, there's like jib board up in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they've got OSB temporarily to provide separation from the attic and keep the place warm, that kind of thing, while we're waiting for the estimator to do his work.
Okay. A lot of projects. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Our wastewater project coordinator, Mike Nevin.
Good morning, commissioners and everyone here. For the record, Mike Nevin. Just a little update on the project. I was here about a month back, and I told you I'd report at least monthly. Monday, yesterday, we started week 9 of the project. Doesn't seem like we've been at it that long, but that's the construction part of the project. As of today, we have 345 days left for substantial completion of the project, so a little bit less than a year. Of course, you know, that's contingent upon weather, naturally. Just a little bit of information regarding the project. We continue to work up Washington Street and south of Washington down to the Flowery Street right-of-way, as we call it. We have installed new sewer on the Flowery Street right-of-way all the way up to M Street. We continue to tie M, N, O, P, and Q down to that line. A lot of that has been completed. We were working in a pretty precarious intersection at Allen, Washington, because that's where the Virginia and Truckee Railroad number 7 tunnel existed back in the day. We had to get down fairly deep there to catch the divide sewer line to take it off of private properties. So we're down about 28 feet with a manhole. And the reason we're so deep there, we needed to get down to solid ground underneath that tunnel. So we're down about 2 feet below the existing rail bed that was located. We ran into some interesting stuff there, some timbering. I was able to grab a couple of those pieces and turn them over to Joe Curtis. He may or may not be able to incorporate them into some sort of display that he has down in the Slammer Museum. So he has those in his possession. But for the most part, unconsolidated fill in there that used to sink from time and time again over the years. And in some areas, we found, you know, over a foot of pavement in there. So that had to be reconstructed. As a result, too, in there, we had to remove a section of main water line so they could get in there and work. And when we put that back together, the county went ahead and had Ames Construction install a new valve, an isolation valve on that main up near that intersection, and then two new existing lateral service line, 2-inch lines, valves that were buried and inoperable. So those have all been replaced when we came through there. And so it's much better now than it was when we started. Some interesting facts, if you will, to date on the 8-inch new sewer main. The contractor has installed 5,048 feet. And these figures were as of the first of the month. So there's been a little bit more added starting yesterday. The project total on line to be replaced is 43,787 feet. Precast manholes, they've completed 26 for a total of 268 vertical feet installed. Project total is 203 manholes or a total of 1,750 vertical feet. We've installed 19 each new lateral service connections from existing residents into the new main line. The divide sewer line is now flowing in the new main and intersects L Street at Washington and then heads east to the plant. Ames also provided us some interesting fun facts, if you will, and so I'll read those to you. If all the 8-inch sewer pipe for the project was laid end-to-end, it would extend from the Washoe Club in the center of town here to Highway 50 via Highway 341, roughly 8.2 miles. If all precast manhole sections were stacked vertically on top of one another, it would be just 26 feet short of reaching the top of One World Trade Center in New York. A total of 1,776 feet again. We're a little bit over 10% into the project. It's been going fairly well. We run into some issues with, you know, what we think should have been there, and then when we pothole and find a little bit different scenario, it's just workarounds. And so far, everyone has been, you know, fairly easy to deal with. Common sense takes over, and, you know, you do what you need to do. There was some structures on a piece of county property south I Street that intersect with the Flowery Street right-of-way that we got permission to demolish. They were left over from a gentleman that owned that ground many, many years ago and were built basically on I Street below actually Mr. Witten's property down there. So, and that line is being run up now up I Street from the L and Flowery Street right-of-ways down there. We had a little bit of a hiccup with a workaround water line, but that's being worked through the court system as we speak. So we've moved through that area, and that's been removed anyway. So just continuing on, so far so good. I think Ames has been, you know, living up to their expectations of us, and we're moving forward. So again, we apologize for the inconveniences to some, and there'll be more, we know, but just bear with us and we'll all get through it, and we'll have a better community as a result when the project is completed. As far as paving too, let me just make mention there, we met with staff and the contractor, and we're looking at replacing some of the bad areas that are outside of the project boundaries. If you will, when they come up a paved street, for example, Washington, the project will pay for about 7 feet of that trench work to be replaced, and there are quite a few areas that have been identified, and I know Mike and Jason have been down there, and they've kind of mapped it out, and so we're waiting for some pricing from a couple of contractors, and then once we get that, I think you'll see we'll start to do some of that repaving, and it's needed. The intersection of Allen Washington is going to be completely redone as a result of the project. So, again, if anyone, and I had the opportunity to take Jack down there and show him, Marshall got ill on me, so we'll get him down there. But if Lance or any of you guys, you know, want to go down at any time, just get a hold of me. We'll make it happen.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No, this is a great public works project. And this is going to make it a lot better when it's done. So. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Our, next up, we'll have our Director of Planning and Human Resources, Austin Osborne. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I'm going to start off a little bit just talking about the status of our Lands Act that we're working with a Porter Group in Washington, our lobbyists, and they are working very closely with Amade's office, Heller's office, and Kathleen Cortez-Masto's office. At this point, they're writing the bill, they're putting a bill together, and the BLM has been working with them as well as my office in getting necessary geographic information system, GIS maps, and the format that they want them in order to create the map that will accompany the bill. And so far, the bill is looking to be positive in the 2018 session to be able to be latched on and be heard by Congress with no real issues expected. It seems to be a pretty smooth process. At the same time this is going on, the Porter Group, myself, and Amade's office are working. Amade's asking, why don't we try to take an administrative approach to this bill instead of congressional action? So concurrently with that, we're working with Amade's office to potentially provide some clarification to the bill that was passed in the first round. That's what we're still dealing with today is the... Okay, maybe we can take that original Lands Act that was created and create some administrative clarification for it so we don't have to go through the congressional action process. So both of these are going side by side, and I guess whatever which one hits the finish line first will win. And so it's looking pretty positive at this point. For Planning Commission meetings, I'm not going to talk too much because we are agendized for that. I just want to provide a reminder that Title 16 and 17 design standards, fee resolutions, and other resolutions will be heard by the Planning Commission on November 16. There will be an action item at that point, and then the December 5th for this commission, except for what might be determined otherwise later in the meeting. And then last but not least, for the Mark Twain flood study that's going on, the Carson Water Subconservancy District did receive two proposals, I'll call them, and we're reviewing those proposals to see what firm might be most qualified, if either, to conduct that master plan study down there in Mark Twain for flooding. That's it.
Okay. Any questions for Austin? No?
Great.
Thanks,
Thank
Austin.
Thank you, Austin.
All right. From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Special Counsel Robert Morris.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Chief Deputy District Attorney Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager Whitten.
I will take advantage of Hugh, Bob's, and Keith's pass and gobble it all up because I have several items. One of which is we're not meeting for a month. By approving the consent agenda item number Roman numeral 7, we canceled the November 21st meeting as we usually do. Next scheduled meeting will be December 5th. So enjoy your time, although we still may need to convene special meetings if there are pressing issues. I'd like to really start off on a real high note, and that is introduce two people that I just came to know yesterday that already have the first reading of their general business license approved. Hopefully we'll have the first reading of their liquor license approved here shortly. And I don't have last names with me, but they're the kind of people that probably want to be called by their first names. I'd like Carol and Mark, the new owners of the Virginia City RV Park, to stand and just welcome to Story County.
And I'm really excited to be here with you today. You're kind of sad to break down.
And I will tell you, for those that remember the ups and downs and downs of the RV park, expect big ups from these two folks. I was blown away in just a happenstance meeting yesterday. So welcome. We look forward to you executing your plans down there.
Well, we're going to try and walk in your footsteps and bring it back to what it was. Yeah.
You'll do more than that. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
So next, James gave a very good summary of the Tri-Tower. We're working, thank you very much, with Lance and Bob Sater and Chris on acquiring the land. We'd like to get started quickly, so I now have a revised legal description I will give you for the expanded pad that we talked about, and you'll have that by today. On the lines of what Austin talked about, I also got an update on the zip codes from the Porter Group. And Dan writes a very concise update, so I'm just going to read it into the record and then provide it for Vanessa. As we've mentioned in previous updates, language to create a single unique zip code for all of Story County is currently in a bill, H.R. 756, the Postal Service Reform Act of 2017, which has been unanimously approved by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Other committees in the House also have jurisdiction over parts of this bill, and we are pushing them to complete their work on it as soon as possible so it can be sent to the full House floor for a vote. Congressman Amaday has also been helpful in pushing the other committees to act upon H.R. 756, yet to date no timeline has been given to the Porter Group or to Congressman Amaday as to when we might expect that bill to move forward. In addition to that, we are also pursuing other legislative vehicles that we might be able to attach our zip code language to. These include both appropriations bills and authorization bills. It is our view that the more exposure we get for our zip code language, the better chance we have to get it enacted into law. It is still our strong opinion that we will get a new zip code for Story County by the end of the 115th session of Congress next year. Despite all the rhetoric on tax reform and Affordable Care Act and everything else going on, they are pressing forward in every direction that they can. Mike gave a phenomenal update on sewer. I want to expand a little bit on his comments on paving. And Mike, I think it was P Street that this was at. They, as Mike very accurately stated, they're cutting 7-foot trenches. Actually, they're not quite cutting 7-foot trenches, but they're responsible for cutting the trenches, putting the pipe in, compacting the fill, and then paving back over. And if you were to go P Street behind Gary Hames' house, south on Washington, you're going to see a beautiful 7-foot runway. And all the rest of the road is crumbling around it. So be prepared. Comptroller Gallagher and I and others on the finance team are trying to find creative ways that will probably take the road budget and just blow it out of proportion, but we might as well do it right while we're doing it. It's kind of like trying to put frosting on a crumbling cake in many areas. So that's a little bit more on roads. Please, I encourage, and I think Mike would expand this to really any person involved in our community, take Mike up on his generous offer of his time to take you around and show you the scope of this project. There is no way to appreciate it until you see it in action. I have had two massive excavators on the street in front of my house for the end of last week and the beginning of this week. It is, as I've said before, it's a very intrusive project. I'm still here that even after 2 weeks, I would tell you the number of complaints we fielded are less than a handful. And that's because Ames is so great to work with. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Mike. We put in, a very quality informational pass down. You know, we change that weekly. We now have a link to the website for those that, you know, don't get the e-blasts. But if you want to know what's going on, that information's out there. And one of the best ways is just to call 847-INFO. Dave Ballard's group is prepared to update that anytime we get updates. Last on my list, at one or two meetings ago, Commissioner McGuffey made an intriguing suggestion on tax relief, and that was to take a look at what they do in Alaska. So I did, and it's like the tip of the iceberg, but it's a promising one in many respects as far as maybe a solid approach to give each resident of the county, every man, woman, and child of the county, potentially. And I understand, I underline potentially, because there's a long way to go on this, but a meaningful amount on a hopefully an equalized basis. I'm not going to go into the mechanics of the pipeline program. There are a lot of differences that we would not take, like asking for a constitutional amendment. But I will tell you, I think it's got some potential. State of Oregon also has processes to distribute surplus funds, more or less equally too. Long story short, it's got life. It may not happen, I have to warn the commission, it may not happen this year because it may take an act of the legislature. And I know that's disappointing to me, much less to everybody else, because we've talked about it for a long time. But if we have to go to the legislature to get the authority to do so, we will. Our DA's office is working aggressively to try to find creative solutions, and we're not going to give up. So that's my update on tax relief.
Very good. Any questions for Pat? No? Okay, great.
Thank you.
Move on now to County Clerk, Ms. Stevens.
Nothing
today. Staffer Kathy Cantrell, do you have anything today on a plan?
No,
okay, all right. I think that concludes the committee and staff reports. So we'll go ahead and we'll move on now to item number 8. These are board comments, and we'll take no action or public comment. We'll start down at the far end of this table to my left, Commissioner Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'll report on a interesting weekend. This past weekend, as a county and as a state government, we were invited back to the White House for the Nevada Local Elected Officials White House Convention. And it's an interesting new program that's being developed by the administration. And they are looking for grassroots input into the decisions that are being made in Washington. And wanting to connect directly with the commissions and the governors but especially the mayors, the folks that are working at the grassroots level. And they're doing that in each state in the United States. And it was a fascinating trip. We went back on Thursday, and the first event Thursday evening was with the Porter Group. And thank you for the report on the lands bill and also on the zip code issues. We had extensive discussions there, and I suppose the bottom line to all of that is that Congress is pretty distracted right now with a lot of other issues, and so some of these things that we're all looking at that are of a local nature may or may not be in the top focus of the Congress immediately. But that being said, there are a lot of potential items to explore, especially in the zip code issue, And I believe there'll be some new information forthcoming shortly that could give us hope for a speedy turnaround there. The next meeting was that evening, and we attended a NACO dinner. There were about 30 participants from the state of Nevada, and of course, Mayor Bob Kelly was there, and the mayor of North Las Vegas was there. A lot of the rural counties had participation there with at least one commissioner, and I think approximately, I don't have an exact count, but I believe it was about 30 people in the room. So it was a small group. We went to NACO for a dinner that first evening, and although NACO wasn't specifically involved in this process, they wanted to bring us up to speed on some of the issues that they were pursuing aggressively. And so if it came handy, we would have something to introduce to the group. Then on Friday morning, we were fortunate enough to see the president off in his helicopter from the White House grounds. He was taking off to go to Hawaii. And we were treated to a wonderful tour of the West Wing. And that was kind of the program prior to getting started. They took us over to the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, which is on the White House grounds. They have a room smaller than this that's set up for specific meetings along these lines. It was a fascinating time. They set us at about 12 o'clock, and then we didn't break until 4:30 that afternoon. And it was a series of question and answers. It was open dialogue. It was fascinating to we basically had the opportunity to meet and chat with every major federal department as a small group of Nevadans. So the Department of Energy was there, Small Business Administration, Department of Transportation, Department of Agriculture, Environmental Protection Agency. We had a wonderful discussion with the Deputy Chief of Staff, Rick Dearborn, with a lot of background information on why we were there and what was forthcoming beyond this meeting. We had the Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Veteran Affairs, Office of the Management of the Budget, Department of the Interior, Housing and Urban Development, and a lot of remarks along during the day by Billy Kirkland. And he's a special assistant to the President and the Deputy Director of Intergovernmental Affairs. All of these folks, in addition to sharing with us, and we had questions and answer session with them, gave us their personal contact information. And to me, that was one of the most dramatic outcomes of this particular White House conference. We have been invited on a daily basis to communicate directly with each of these departments at the federal level with concerns, with issues, with requests. The bottom line, I think, message that they were sending out to Nevada and to all of the counties is that President Trump is extremely focused on deregulating the United States of America. And virtually every department that chatted with us, the primary message that they wanted to send is that the president had requested that for every new regulation that was brought into focus here in the United States, he wanted two regulations erased. And they were proud from the fact that they're running 1 to 16. And that throughout all of these agencies, and they all discussed how many they were reducing, their focus, whether it be BLM. So it was fascinating to know that we're now invited to communicate. I haven't started that yet. I share with you all that we probably should have some meetings and thoughts about this. But we now have an access to either the director or his assistant secretary with issues that are important to our county that would be at the federal level. The one message that I took back is we've been having a number of meetings with Bill Hoffman, all of us, on the federal infrastructure necessary here in Northern Nevada. And a lot of that's being driven, as you probably are well aware, because of the success we're having here in Story County. And I can tell you, by the way, they were well aware of that. And the industrial park and the speed to vertical that we were enjoying, and the impacts, by the way, that are here in the community. And so Bill was interested in getting the feedback and finding out where we were from our county's perspective on all of that federal infrastructure. So he's seeing that that we need about $3 billion worth of infrastructure infusion in order to keep pace with the growth and the future growth that we're seeing here in Northern Nevada. And one of the primary roadblocks, if you will, to speed to vertical from the federal level is NEPA permits. And the typical NEPA permit in Nevada, for example, when we're going in for new highway build out or highway improvements or anything, those NEPA permits are taking up to 9 years to process. So if we need an I-80 improvement, if we need our interchange at Lockwood, for example, expanded, if we need the Spaghetti Bowl in downtown Reno, we need work doing on that, it's going to take 9 years to get a NEPA permit to get started on a lot of that infrastructure. And the thing that came out of this meeting, we had interesting discussions on it, and the Transportation Department suggested that what they're looking for is a 75% reduction in the NEPA paperwork required in one of these permits, 75%, and they're looking to have a one-year turnaround on those permits. So has that been implemented yet? No. But is that on their discussion menu? Absolutely. So I left there with a positive and optimistic outlook that at the federal level, they are looking at deregulating, much as the way Story County has. The reason we've enjoyed the success at TRI, for example, is the administration's approach and the deregulation approach. And I was delighted to see that our federal government is looking at a similar process. That's all I got.
Great. Thank you. Thanks a lot. That was a great update. That's terrific. Commissioner McGuffey.
Well, let's see. The Highlands had their annual meeting and voted in some new or pretty much the same board members. I think I got a few kudos that, Chairman McBride here and Austin and I attended. And we gave them a pretty good earful, and they really appreciated getting all the news from us. We gave them quite a bit to go home with. So that was a good thing. That's it.
Great. All right. Thanks, Jack. I don't have anything today. With that said, I'm going to circle back to item number 7. We overlooked the Public Works Director's report because he's out in the field today. So, Pat, if you'd...
Yes, and my apologies, Commissioners. Jason did give me a comprehensive report yesterday, so these are the following that he is either involved with or is wrapping up. Mark Twain Road project is pretty much done. Double-chipped Prospector, Martin, Mary, and Julie, and we did a full rebuild on Tom Sawyer, and that should wrap up today. we had one section of unpaved road right kind of in the middle of town on O Street, that we had three occupied residents that were there. We got that paved, so that's done and looks nice. The community center pool parking lot on Carson Street has been striped. We've ordered and picked up new street signs for all streets in Virginia City. I think we had a display of that a few meetings ago. You know, they're the brown and white historic, and they will denote where appropriate the North and South streets that sometimes confuse folks. Jason continues to work extremely close with Mike and the crew at Ames on both sewer and water locations. This is, like I keep saying, it is a massive project, but we're finding opportunities in there that Ames is willing to take a kind of a pause button approach and then we come out with a better project at the end. Far West has finished now surveying the mailboxes on Cartwright Road. So this is for the mailbox area. So we should know, hopefully, what is ours. I don't think we have the final product back from Southwest, but once we get that, we'll start on getting a parking area. And if we get shut out for the season on paving, hopefully we can at least get it based, you know, where we'll go from there. But we'll cross that bridge. We're finding out that asphalt is apparently more available than we would have thought before, because Ames has got no problem going out to Sparks and picking up asphalt. So that's alive and well. His crew is still working with Sierra Winds on playground options for the Lockwood Park. Hopefully we'll have some solid quotes in hand by the end of the week, and I'll warn everybody ahead of time, there's nothing more expensive than playground equipment. I mean, we might as well be putting in surgical rooms or something. It's because it has to be safe. I'm not arguing that. We're getting all of our equipment ready for the winter season, and the park's winterized. So that's Public Works. And again, I apologize. I didn't read that before.
Great. Thanks, Pat.
Coming into town this morning, I noticed we have our emergency ready sign there at the end of town.
I asked about that. Apparently, that is no longer a program that we can get that sign. Is that right, Sherry?
Yeah, the National Weather Service. Sherry Nevin for the record. That's a program through the National Weather Service that we received designation for a few years back. They do not provide the signs anymore. Joe Curtis has redesigned, kind of just rebuilt what they have. He's got those signs and he's to put those up here. I mean, I thought he was going to have it done by then, but.
Oh, I was just going to say it's so faded out.
They are. Yeah, all of them. I think we've got 4 or 5 different signs throughout the different communities, so okay. We'll get those up so you can read them again.
All right. Thanks, Sherry. All right. That concludes staff reports, board comments. We'll move on now to item number 9. This is discussion only, and we'll take no action. This is the update on the DevNet and Tyler software hardware installation. Mr. Dean.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. This is a monthly agendized item per Pat Witten, so we can keep you up to date on the data center and how we're moving forward on this large software project for the county that's going to be replacing our mainframe. Not a whole lot of updates since the last meeting. We've got the flooring in the new data center, and power has been run, but still need some improvements there. Excuse me. The machines, again, are built and ready to be turned on. It's just waiting for a place to bolt them into. So that's moving along as expected. We think we're going to meet our December 1 deadline. Also working with Tyler and DevNet to try and consolidate some of their server requirements, because one company wants one flavor of software, the other company wants a different flavor. And it's my opinion that we can run both on one flavor and save the county about $30,000 in software licensing. So there is a potential that we may become a beta testing county for the latest version of Microsoft SQL. Again, that's about a $30,000 savings, so I'm going to try and push for that. But everything is on track. We're doing well.
Perfect. Yeah. Wherever we can save money.
Yep.
Yeah. And Mr. Gallagher, do you have something to follow up with?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. we're sitting at a little over $200,000 in costs right now between software and hardware. We're going to get to that, close to that $450,000 mark that we're probably going to get to probably very shortly. On the software side, the assessor, I think, is about, they're about 35% through the building of their platform, which is quite extensive, because anytime we're talking about property values, there are so many things that are involved in that, it takes quite a bit of time. The back office, clerk treasurer, recorders, we're just getting started. They've called some meetings, and what James has done is has done an asset or a questionnaire back to them, telling them exactly what we've got on the hardware side. And so those meetings to construct the entire back office, payroll, accounts payable, human resources, clerk treasurer application and the recorder application, as well as probably business licenses, has yet to be scheduled. That will be, I think, a major component of what we do in the first quarter of 2018.
So when these are up and running, are they going to be, are both systems going to be running at the same time to make sure that
There may be a from a go-to date, there may be a difference. If the assessor, I think the back office will probably come up before the assessor's deal, because there is so much stuff to do. But I think that we'll be able to handle that no problem, and the switchover will be fine.
Agreed.
Okay. Any question, James? Are you here? Okay. Thank you for the update.
We could take public comment on this.
Sure. Any public comment regarding the hardware software program? Okay. We'll move on now to item number 10, discussion on possible action. And authorize the county manager to move in or dispose of pending personal property located at 141 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, more commonly known as the Fire Department Training Room building, by the following sequential steps. And, of course, I'm going to stop there and let you continue on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the little building to the south of the Fire Department here in Virginia City. IT was the last full-time occupant, and they mostly hung out in the basement. And then we have used it over the years for an emergency command center, a training facility, whatnot. We became aware late last year of some significant environmental issues, mostly in the basement. Dealing with radon, mold, and asbestos. Asbestos was probably the least of our worries because most of it was intact. Radon, more of a concern, and mold, always a concern. So James, as the director and tenant there, did some testing, and we did an emergency relocation to St. Mary's Art Center, and all's going well there. So we've got IT and our staffs safe. So that it takes us to the question, what do we do with the building? The building does have some historic significance. It is, for those that have never been in there, it is basically a building sitting on a basement foundation with a tag on the back that serves as a single office. The question we got is, what do we do with the building? And it was built in the 30s. Or relocated here. Interestingly enough, some think that it came up from the then Nevada Highway Department, NDOT's predecessor, to probably be an office for the work that is still perplexing the Seymours out on out at the north end of town here with the failing retaining wall. It came up one way or another. That seems to be its historic significance, and it does have, I think, for a lot of people, some sentimental value. It's been a dispatch center. It's been doctor's offices on multiple occasions. I've kind of run through its modern day use. It's also been a residence. Did a little bit of history on it with Joe Curtis. And, long story short, we'd like to save it if we can. And we also have a conflicting amount of money coming to us from the insurance company that, they're gonna help us to some degree or another with remediation if we can. So, in working with Bird and the Comstock Historic District, obviously they'd like to see it saved, and understandably they'd like to see it saved within the confines of the Comstock Historic District as well. So, Bird and I have kind of hammered out. I don't have approvals. I think each one of these would be subject to their final approval. We've kind of hammered out a multi-step process that we hope we can stop with the first one, because I've got one department head, and actually there are two departments that may have, a purpose in occupying what I would call the main portion of the upstairs building of the training center, the 30 by 30 or whatever it is, rectangle or box, square. Long story short, I'd like your permission to go ahead and proceed with a multi-step process, and hope that we stop at the first one for all the reasons I've already talked about. That process would be to move the main portion of the building, the box, down to a foundation at the jail, provide that foundation has ADA compliance, full compliance, and also, you know, has room to build on to, because by lifting the front, the top of the building, we have no restroom. The building also has no kitchen. It has really nothing, no break room, no anything, no offices. So long story short, we'd move it down to the jail, place it on the foundation with room to add these additional functions. And we think we can shell it out at least for $100,000 total. Moving it, by the way, is included in that amount, and I have a hard quote on that from Ralph Lynn at $18,000. The price has really gone up over the last couple of years since we moved the little houses over here. We would then repurpose the building. We got a couple of ideas, and I definitely have one department head that's keenly interested in locating down there. And then all that relocation would be subject to approval by the Comstock Historic District, and we would have additional tenant improvements inside the building. So that's option one, and would be preferred, and we'd exhaust that before we do anything else. Option two would be to take bids on it. We know from experience when we sold these houses, I think our highest bid was $10. We gave one away to the Cemetery Foundation as a nonprofit. So we're not going to fetch much money, and we would have to, because of nuances in government selling property, if we sell real property, we're going to have it appraised. And quite frankly, the appraisal is going to be cost us more than the building's worth. So we'd lift it up. Of that $18,000, that's about $6,000 in the mover's mind. It would be lifted from his foundation, which makes it personal property. Then somebody could come in and say, great, I'll buy it, move it anywhere on the Comstock to CHD approval. And then it would be moved kind of like one, two, three, four houses were, the four houses that were here. So that would be option two. If that doesn't work, I think we'll get some tolerance from the historic district, subject to a full meeting with their commission, that, okay, sell it wherever it can go. It can go to Dayton. It can go wherever it needs to go, but sell it. It's still got historic significance. So that would be option three. Hopefully we don't get there. And option four is to tear it down. So, again, that's not something we want to do. I'm asking for your authorization to proceed. I will continue to update the commission and the public on our progress. First one would be to get a design and a hard cost from the local contractors as to how much for a foundation. We don't even really have a fully designed plan yet. Then I know, and I commented on this in my staff report, we're often asked, well, what are you going to do with the site? The highest priority is to seal and entomb that. Where the radon is and everything. So we go through either a bid process depending on where we go. We probably get some ballpark quotes first that will tell us do we need to put it out to bid. But we want to entomb that or mitigate it, whatever that means. And we'll work with the specialists that know how to do that. Radon's all over the place. We know that every year when UNR comes. And I don't know on the rest of it if burying it is acceptable or not. So we find that out. Once it's mitigated, there's at least two potential uses that we're looking at. We have some staff living quarter issues in our fire department. And there's always the potential. There may be better solutions for that one. If that was the case, since it's still close in proximity to the business core, that whole opened area would accommodate several additional parking spaces in town, which in my opinion, it wouldn't take much other than the mitigation, which we're going to have to do anyway in the basement. So my request is to authorize me to go ahead and to proceed with those steps. And if I have to go past step one, you would have authorized me to do that, but I will report back to you with pain that we're going to step two and subsequent steps. And all the environmental reports are in there. We've had at Bert's request at CHD, he asked for our basically expert, if you will, on historic properties, Pete Dubay of the Dubay Group. He's an architect. He He gave a very thorough report from top to bottom, and then I asked Building Department of Community Development to go in with a fine-tooth gun, too, and they're basically saying the basement's sick, and the upstairs does have some life left in it.
Well, we have a lot of options to look at here, so that's good. That's good. A lot of work has got into this. So why don't we go ahead and we'll open up for any public comment in reference to the 141 North C Street, commonly known as the Training Center. Mr. Ayers.
Good morning. Steve Ayer, longtime local resident. Has anybody looked into the cost of just remediating the problem downstairs? Because in real estate, we deal with radon, mold, asbestos all the time. So what would the cost of that be?
Great question, Steve. It would be, again, ballpark, because we're going through that in several buildings right now, particularly with the mold, and mostly mold. It would probably be in the same ballpark cost. The problems that we have with the building itself also is, particularly with the need to access bathrooms in the basement, the lack of ADA compliance. There are low ceilings. There are out-of-code steps that are trip fall hazards. There are so many issues with the building itself that moving it or is probably just seems to make the most sense to us, to be honest with you. I mean, we'd have way more than that if we were to bring that building up to full code compliance, not just remediate the environmental hazards.
Okay, because I know for fire, it was great having that training facility right there. We were able to do a lot with it. And you talk about separating the building and moving it. Have you considered separating it, moving it over, dealing with the issue down below? If you have to seal it, remove it, dig it up, or whatever, and put it on new foundations, and still be able to use that building there? Because I know it's been handy for the fire department forever.
Yeah, so. And we are looking at additional training options for the fire. We're working with Chief Nevin right now. If we, for instance, get, if ultimately when we address firefighter living accommodations or dorm accommodations, if you will, that'll free up some space. We're also looking at some options on other adjacent properties. So we know we have an issue to resolve there. Plus, for the most part, although this is not optimum when it comes to the fire, it was a good training facility for a lot of people. But now we've got the old bank, that really is proving useful for us. That was probably some of the best $75,000 he and I spent, or the county spent. So, and I'll take another look at your comments and, consider them. But I think it needs to move. It's just got, as its current function, too many issues.
Yeah, I know it worked out good adding on the addition onto the back for doing roof trim, cutting in and making access through the roof. So.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you guys look at all the possibilities. That's why I'm just throwing some extra stuff up there.
Good deal. Thank you.
Thanks,
Steve.
More public comment? Hearing none, then okay. I'm looking for a motion on this item to direct the county manager to take the necessary steps to go forward on this.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack Gaffey, move to approve the county manager to consider relocation and or disposal of the personal property located at 141 North C Street in Virginia City by the outlined sequential steps.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and second to approve this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11. Discussion and possible action. Resolution number 2017-477. Acceptance of quitclaim deed of dedication between EP Minerals, LLC, a Delaware Limited Liability Company, to Story County, a political subdivision of the state of Nevada, where EP Minerals, LLC, is to dedicate, release, remiss, and quitclaim to Story County to have and hold for public use as a public street, including rights, title, and interest in the real property located at McCarran, Story County, Nevada, and described in enclosure A hereto.
Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Board of Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record from planning. There is a portion of Electric Avenue down at Tahoe Reno Industrial Center in McCarran that is a road. It's been used. It's Electric Avenue. It's quite a famous road around the region. It needs to have the land underneath it conveyed to Story County so everything is proper and done. So right now, EP Minerals technically owns the land, and that property then would be deeded over to Story County to appropriately facilitate the road, just like any other road in the county. And that's pretty much the end of the story. It's about 4,000 linear feet, give or take, and this will include all easements and necessary right-of-ways and all of that stuff for the development agreement, and it will apply to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center development agreement.
Did we build a road on somebody else's property?
We did. Roger did. I might add, if I can, this is interesting, and the timing's perfect to get this clarified. Commissioner Gilman knows this. Chris knows this. There's a huge need, I hate to say it, for Little Story County, but we need to have a traffic control signal at Electric Avenue. This is on that property. The good news is, actually the great news is, for the last 9 to 12 months, NDOT has been saying 3 years, $3 million, and Story County and Tri, you pony up the money or go collect it. Jason W. and I attended a meeting last Thursday. Most of it was pretty boring stuff. NDOT brings 50 people to the table, apparently, because they have all their different divisions right away and whatnot. I learned that although the last meeting I attended 3 or 4 months ago was 3 years, $3 million, don't know what the price is right now. Apparently, it doesn't matter. It goes out to bid in December. NDOT's picking up the entire tab, apparently because Governor Sandoval may have told them to. It goes out to bid in December. Construction begins in March, and we will have a turn signal within 70 days. I am already reaching out to the cities of Sparks, Reno, and Carson City, as well as private vendors, because they build it. We're responsible for maintaining it. That's the rules, and we've known that all along. So we will be in the signaling business here shortly.
Oh, interesting.
On property that we don't own.
That's great. Okay, public comment. Hearing none. Call for a motion.
The recommended motion. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve resolution number 2017-477, acceptance of quick claim deed of dedication between EP Minerals LLC, a Delaware limited liability company, to Story County, a political subdivision of the state of Nevada, where EP Minerals LLC is to dedicate, release, remiss, and quick claim to Story County to have and hold for public use as a public street, including rights, title, and interest in the real property located at McCarran, Story County, Nevada, and described in enclosure A here too.
Okay. I'll second your motion.
We're moving to second to approve resolution 2017-477. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action. Thank you, Austin. Approval of voting system agreement by and between Dominion Voting Systems, Incorporated in Story County, Nevada, for the purchase of a voting system, licenses, and related services with a total purchase price of $127,217. Ms. Davis.
Good morning. So this is the contract to replace our current voting system. This is with the same company we're currently using. It's just an upgraded system. The total price is that $127,000. We will get reimbursed from the state at about $59,000, plus additional for training and then the poll book system that we'll be looking at later. So this was budgeted in the current year. So this just gives us the documents to move forward with getting the new system ordered and start training on it.
So is this going to be expense for the Secretary of State's office or just the state general fund?
Yeah. The general fund. They approved it in the last session.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it looks like it carries several years of warranty.
Yeah. And it comes with the training and the setup. And
how old is our old system?
14 years now, I think.
Okay.
I'm fortunate to be able to sit in here and watch the election night processes. And there's a scary process in particular where, I guess, of the absentee ballots and paper ballots are actually tallied, then they're put on, I swear, an 8-track cartridge that then comes over to this other machine, and you literally have to kind of pet it and hope that it works. So it's been an interesting process.
And it's served us well, but it's time to retire it.
Hopefully they're smaller and lighter.
Yes, so they are.
How about if we open up for public comment? Anybody have any comment regarding the new voting system? No, I just have one question. Did we budget the full amount on this, or did we just budget 50%?
We budgeted $100,000.
Okay.
So we'll come in under budget.
Mr. Commissioner, or Chairman, there was a question.
Oh, Mr. Ayers.
Hello, Steve Ayer again. How is security provided on this system? Because some of us go back to the Dipple Chad days where you punched it in, you had something hard copy, and now with all the scanning systems and all that, how do we assure that it's a safe system? And, I mean, these things keep getting so much more expensive. So
it'll work like the system does now with a paper trail. So each ballot that's cast will still print a paper audit trail that we go back and verify after each election. So it's the same system we're using, just smaller, lighter equipment.
Okay.
And Vanessa, isn't it true that the Secretary of State has vetted and approved certain models and certain
systems? Yeah, the systems all have to be certified by the state before we can even look at them.
Yeah, and they've updated from 8-tracks to cassettes now.
I got Vanessa let me play with the demo model, and it's pretty much plug and play and pretty simple to use.
Okay. We had a motion and a second?
I didn't make a motion.
Did you make a motion yet?
No.
How about now?
I'll make a motion. I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve the voting system agreement by and between Dominion Voting Systems Incorporated and Story County, Nevada for the purchase of a voting system, licenses, and related services with a total purchase price of $127,217.
I second your motion.
Been moved and second to approve the voting system agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Up next is item number 13, discussion of possible action, approval of memorandum of understanding between the Comstock Historic District Commission, Story County, and the state and the Nevada State Preservation Office. Ms. Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. The county has been working with SHPO, which is the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office, for about a year now to develop this MOU, basically governing our relationship with them under what is known as the Certified Local Government Program. This is a program through the National Park Service to support local governments to strengthen local historic preservation programs. The CLG benefits us, like I said earlier, in these grants. Your CLG, the state has to allocate a certain amount of funding to these CLGs. There is four of us in the state of Nevada. We're a little bit different here in that we did never apply to be a CLG. There's an application process, but due to the fact that we are a National Historic Landmark, we were automatically given that status back, what we're able to determine, probably sometime in the early 80s. So kind of as things progress, new people in different positions, we wanted to make sure that we have a formal memorandum of understanding in place between all parties. So that's the county, SHPO, and our local Comstock Historic District Commission. So it's a pretty simple memorandum of understanding, 2 pages. But I think we've called out everything that needed to be basically taken care of. And there should be you know, nothing that's going to obligate anyone to have additional costs or anything. It'll just be kind of continuing on with the course of business and how we interact currently.
That's good, because we've always had a pretty good relationship with SHPO.
Yep.
And our local office here.
Yeah, so basically everything we do here in this town, we have to go through SHPO in some respect or another. Right. So.
And that'll come even more to play if Pipers comes to fruition.
All right. How about if we open up for public comment? Anybody have any public comment regarding this memorandum of understanding? Any board comments?
No.
How about a motion?
Okay. As recommended by staff, I move to approve the memorandum of understanding between Comstock Historic District Commission, Story County, and the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 14. This is discussion and possible action. This is the approval of revised county manager's job description and discussion on enacting complementary county policies on agreements and contracts. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Morris for the record. The item is a possible action item on the county manager job description. I would ask that that be continued. And one of the reasons is that I think the policies that the county has sort of complement the job duties in the job description. And so I had attached county policy that's in existence now with some changes that I was proposing for the board. This is really the board's opportunity to make the changes they want or implement changes that they want in the policies. And so what I would ask, Mr. Chairman, is that you take any public comment on the job description, but that the board go ahead and continue that. I would like to just take a few minutes to discuss the policy that I included in the packet, and that's an existing policy, number 42. And I was going to say there's quite a few policies that sort of interface with the county manager. One that I'm working on currently is the request for being placed on meetings. The clerk asked if we could look at it to see if we could improve a couple of areas. And basically, that is a duty that the county manager has in setting up the agenda and approving stuff to go on to that. So you can see that while the job description would include the duty of managing the agenda, the policy is the specific way in which it would be handled. So there have been several comments while I've been working on this, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to talk about a couple of them. In the agenda packet, I asked that the board should direct staff to bring back any policies the board wants to adopt, including administrative policy 040, which deals with the budget and budget requests, the policy 042, which is the one that I included, which deals with contracts and agreements. I believe I talked with Commissioner McGuffey about possible retirement, and that's, I think, going to be an issue that's going to come up. I would say, I think the county has had a retirement incentive program previously, but I haven't been able to find an actual policy that sets up the parameters of that. So that would be something that could be set up as a policy that would complement the job duties that the county manager might have. So, let me just say that I'm going to ask the board not to consider the current county manager's job performance in connection with this agenda item because we haven't given him notice. He was very accommodative last time, but I just would like to keep the record clean on that. And so if we could just go to the policy number 42, which is contracts and agreements, that's in the packet. And what I did is I put in some proposed changes. I believe it's pretty straightforward. One of the issues was how contracts are actually being done currently. If you look at this, it's the county comptroller that sets up this policy, and I did show it to Mr. Gallagher, and I appreciate any comments he might have on this issue. And so what I think is interesting is that this policy, the existing policy, requires that all agreements and contracts be reviewed by the district attorney, county manager, and county comptroller. And I'm not sure that we follow through on that practice. So I think it's a good policy to look at to see if that's how the board wants contracts to be handled by the county. And so there's a few things in the policy. If you look under Roman numeral 2, section D, it talks about the county manager is authorized to sign on behalf of the board agreements and contracts which are valued less than $10,000 and sign change orders on construction contracts if the change order is not greater than 10% of the total amount bid for that project. And so that sort of sets an upper limit. It would require the item to come back to the board if it was above $10,000. Now, Commissioner Gilman, I think, suggested $5,000 would be a more appropriate number. And so while the $10,000 is not arbitrary, it's just a suggestion on my part to get the discussion started. And so I'd look to the board for direction as to what amount they think is appropriate. I would point out that it's a complicated problem in a way, but I think what we want to do is try to make it very clear exactly what requirements are in existence and that they are being followed. And I'd encourage any questions as I'm going along. If you have any, I'd be glad to talk about it.
The commissioners have questions for Bob, or do you want me to open it up for public comment?
Sure. Public comment.
Okay.
And again, I would just reiterate that my suggestion is that the board ask us to bring back policies that are involved with the county manager so that we could do a total package. And so what I'm looking at is maybe the first meeting in January that we come back with, say, if you give direction today for a retirement incentive program, which I think the county does have a lot of paperwork on that, that would just require being put into a policy, we could do that. And on that note, I would allow public comment.
All right, we'll go ahead and we'll open this up to public comment. Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. You note that you've added, you've included 042, but also speak to 040. You speak to one on retirement. Does a retirement policy currently exist?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I think coming out of the corporate world, I had boundary conditions as a manager of what I could and couldn't do, and money was a big one. So you're saying there is a policy on budgets, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Does the policy on budgets contain compensation as part of an element, or is there a separate compensation policy in terms of how to administer compensation? It's not a gotcha. I'm just asking the question. Let me tell you where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Providing retirement incentive is a small piece of overall compensation. You can write a policy just dealing with that, or ratchet back and look at overall what are the responsibilities or boundary conditions of any manager, in this case our county manager, relating to compensation, which means is he or she allowed to provide compensation outside of a normal cycle? Are they allowed to provide remuneration above certain thresholds of a performance appraisal cycle that just came in? Are they allowed to give bonuses for performance, for retirement, et cetera? So I guess my question is, you know, possibly rather than go after a retirement policy, look at a total compensation policy instead, in which you've got these things contained. Because besides having, besides the ability to provide bonuses for retirement, there's an ability to provide bonuses for any reason. Oh, it's Tuesday. Let's give a bonus. There's an opportunity to give out-of-cycle salary increases outside of what was already approved at the front end. So I'm just asking a question of, you know, have you tied this all up?
Let me just make a couple of comments. I think the compensation is more covered by the contracts that we have with employees, and so I think the compensation is covered in that sense.
But you've got non-union employees.
And there are some employees that are not covered by that, and
nor is management.
And so specifically about the budget item, I don't think compensation is included in that. Though I think it's Austin probably is the best person to answer this.
Thank you. Austin Osborne for the record. I'm not going to speak to all of this. So I just want to clarify a little bit. We do have in our policies a policy on compensation, and we have a policy on retirement, and this is not necessarily called a retirement policy because, PERS, you know, we're a public agency, so we're not quite the same as a private company that's going to manage a program of retirees. It goes over to PERS, and PERS from the state manages all of the retirement program. But all the things that are being discussed here in this conversation do exist in the policies in one place or another, and perhaps that is a way to look at it, is each of those respective policies to make adjustments in them as needed for whatever the five or six or four or three things that are going on here. That's really all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Austin.
Okay. Thank you.
Does it help you? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I'd also like to applaud the approach that Council Morris has taken. I think, you know, if you look at the job description as a skeletal structure and then address the policies, policies are typically nimble. They can be adjusted from $5,000 to $10,000 and back to $2,500, you know, pretty much by putting it on an agenda item. So I think he's taken what I think is a very sound approach,
And I say that probably knowing that, you know, this is a process, and it's a process that we've been working on, you've been working on, together with others for several months now, and trying to shore up these practices that need to be more set in policy. And as I say that, you know, probably by the time we get done, you know, we talk about notifications under NRS and those types of things. You know, I take no umbrage at that simply because by the time this is done, I will have at least 1 foot out the door, if not 1.5 feet out the door. So it will be for my successor, whoever that shall be. So I like the approach. I would caution the board as you look at policies as part of this package, which again I fully support. Be careful how restricted you get. We're known for getting things done around here. You know, I'm looking more at the contract amounts than the bonuses right now, to be candid with you. You know, I don't disagree with 5,000. Commissioner Gilman and I have talked. I think we even talked about statutory responsibilities as low as 2,500, I believe, once upon a time. And whatever we need to do, we certainly will do. But the bottom line is sometimes opportunity exists. I mean, keep in mind, we're not going to meet now for almost 30 days. A lot happens in this county in 30 days. So just provide for that in the policies, I think, or provide something, you know, and we'll go from there. That's my observations that I think Lance, you asked me to provide, you know, throughout this process. So I think Bob's done a great job.
All right. How about we take more public comment? Mr. Gallagher?
Come on. You are maybe waiting to the bunch. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Gentleman Sam Toll, Gold Hill, for the record.
Look at the clock, but it's incorrect.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm like having this time-space continuum here. Good morning, gentlemen. I really appreciate the direction that you guys are taking on this policy and this process. I think that my suggestions would be to be mindful of being more transparent and less opaque in the process. When I was the owner of my company, my job was to give my managers the tools that they needed to get their job done and then get the heck out of the way. In public enterprise, it's a little bit different because we're talking about a responsibility to, you know, all of the stakeholders in the game, the citizens as well as the county employees. I like the direction Mr. Gilman is suggesting. With in terms of numbers, I would of course suggest that the amount would be perhaps zero, given the fact that there's about a 15-second disseparation between the offices of the manager and the controller. With respect to having authorization for spending money. And then be mindful of the fact that this is a future-looking process. As Mr. Witten suggested, you know, he may or may not be long for the job, and that future occupants of his position may or may not have the same, you know, tone and somber approach to spending money that he has. So just as, you know, when George Bush started using the executive order to get things done, that responsibility then fell into the hands of Mr. Obama, and he took things a little bit further, and now we've got, you know, Mr. Trump, who has the ability to take the executive order and expand it even further. I think that it's important to, you know, to look forward in this process. So great job, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I agree with Pat's comments and Keith's when he's had comments, and also Bob. A lot of this, the landscape has changed from where we used to sign contracts. I mean, there's a lot of financial and legal liability that we may or may not put ourselves into in previous years or years before Pat and I. And I think it's a necessary step to get us a little bit back on track. I will give you one example, and that is the Tesla agreement, the pass-through agreement with our outside CPA firm. And so I asked Keith for a ruling on what my signatory abilities were, and he says, "You have none." And I said, "Thank you," because what happens with this thing, I mean, and this is between CPA firms and a comptroller, there were areas in that
in that agreement that we went back and forth on, that I agree with Keith on, is that, you know, anybody will try and saddle us with liability even though it's not ours. And I think it was a good point and question for all of this. It took some time, but in going forward, I think the process will be such that I don't think there will be an inordinate amount of time on contracts with this thing. The approval process is simply, you know, whether it's Keith knows that the language is in there, whether the financial numbers or documentation that's in there is can be a budget item, can be something other than that. So I agree with Keith and Bob and Pat's comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gallagher.
May I also add something to that?
Yes.
You know, in looking at the wording, I would propose no changes in language, but I do caution again the board and the public. Staff, particularly the county manager and presumably the comptroller, aren't necessarily always going to either agree with each other, much less with legal counsel. And I say this in all respect. There is a contract that I believe will be coming to you the first meeting in December that counsel has provided their opinion. Their opinion is just that, in my opinion, it is an opinion. There are good points brought out. This is a legislatively mandated problem to solve. It is being solved via what I presume to be a national contract, and more importantly, a contract being used by a firm specifically through multiple jurisdictions in the state of Nevada, and is going to come to you with the notations from counsel that says, I disagree with this, this, and this. But the bottom line is if we want the product that we're mandated to have, then I think we need to be aware of those concerns, but understand that there won't always be consensus in agreement. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're not always going to agree. All right. Still open as public comment? Hearing none. So, Commissioners, if I get a motion to continue this to the first meeting in January, which would be the second, and ask you guys are prepared to make any changes or approve this at that time with Mr. Morris. Since we are just discussing this and we're not making a decision today, I think I agree with Councillor Morris on a $10,000 threshold. I'm afraid if we get it, you know, if we have the threshold at too low of a limit, we could be hearing 100 separate requests at each given meeting, and we're going to see where it goes anyway. We're still going to have to sign off on it,
and we'll be able to adjust that as we go.
But I think we do need to give so much of a leash on this to go forward.
And there will be contracts as Council Morris points out, there will be contracts that will come here anyway.
Right.
We're under threshold or not. I mean, I think there are some that deserve, forward action regardless of amount. And also, I think in many cases, oftentimes, particularly Sherry's gone, but we've got a lot of smaller contracts or agreements that are, worthy of making sure everybody knows what we're doing. Right. That we're not saying that there aren't some that aren't, but in many cases, we're pretty proud of the extra $80,000 that SHPO is giving us. So we want that out there.
I just don't want to shackle the process.
Thank you. I agree.
And let me just point out another thing that I've added in this, and it's in that section B as well. It says nothing in this policy prohibits the county manager from having the board review, vote on, and sign contracts and change orders. So the county manager has the ability to give it to the board if it is less than $10,000, if he thinks it's appropriate. And then I added in another section, additionally, this policy does not prohibit the board from requesting certain agreements, contract change orders, be approved by the board of the vote of the board. And so you can specifically say this contract needs to come back to us.
don't you give them like a 10% leeway of the project cost?
For
on change orders.
On change orders, yes. Yeah. And so the, I think that's pretty standard at this point. Yeah. That the, there's a the county manager has the ability to sign off up to a certain percentage on change orders on contracts, and I think quite often he's delegated that duty to follow up on those contracts.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't say consistently. I mean, you know, we try to avoid change orders, to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, but they are a necessary tool, and we will have them on projects like the sewer plant. But I will tell you, a 10% tolerance on the size of this project is massive. You know, I wouldn't be using 10% on that. But when you get into the parking lot, particularly when we're in the cycle program right now, where we're meeting once a month for a short sprint, you know, you've got to have that nimbleness and that flexibility. So I think 10% is a good number. Just know with me, and I would presume, since I don't work under contract, and I would think my successor may not work under contract either, is if you don't like something, just say so and find somebody else to do it. You know, I mean, it's pretty much, you know, 10% is, I think, a solid number. And I can't tell you I have the authority, because I think I'm kind of like you. I'm not sure I have any authority to do anything anymore. But I would tell you, I think the practice and the business need is there, and the process of codifying this, you know, through job descriptions and policies are a sound approach.
And I'm encouraged by the board's interest in this and issue, and I look forward to trying to be the draftsman for your ideas.
You know, and it's already been moved to continue, and I agree with that. I would suggest, and I can talk to each of you individually, and I'll talk to council too, but you may even want to look at yet another workshop. I think Council Morris and I over the years have found that on issues, important issues or changes, you know, that workshopping the thing 2, 3, and 4 times before you have a final product is a healthy process. In the meantime, my marching orders are clear. I'm not signing contracts, and I'm not doing incentives of any type, and we'll go forward from there.
So between now and January the 2nd, if you guys have any questions for Bob, go ahead and contact Bob directly if you want to see any changes made to what he's already drafted or additions or anything else. Okay, so we can go ahead and get a motion to continue this to January
2nd.
If
I could make one comment.
Yes.
One of the things that I've suggested to Bob is that under Chapter 332, which is the public bidding and purchasing for local governments chapter, there's a provision under statute that says that the authorized representative of the local government can go request bids and request bids. What I would suggest is, and I've suggested to Bob, is it could either go into policy or into the proposed job description, is that the county manager would be specifically authorized as the representative to request bids, so the authority would be clear.
But he could also direct other department heads to get bids.
He could put that in there also.
Yeah.
And that, again, is a great approach, because it's currently an unanswered question that Council Loomis has helped me with. I mean, if you go back to today's consent agenda, you approved our selling of 164 some odd sticks of K-Rail, vintage K-Rail, I might add. You approved the sale to Ames Construction, and unfortunately we were forced, Council Loomis and I were forced with, okay, we don't want to delay this any further. Ames wants it. Ames has got a good bid. Pat, you have the authority as the county's whatever you told me in that email that's in the packet, by the way, to go ahead and solicit bids and then, you know, present it before the commission to sell. So that process it works. We just need to account for it in here.
Yeah, it's a suggested revision that we could put in there.
Because otherwise, today I would have asked you for permission to solicit bids, and a month from now we'd be selling, and Ames might say no, and I'd be forced to go back to the second bidder, which was about 60% of, you know, what we sold for.
Thank you, Keith. I did forget that I talked to Keith about that and said that I thought it was appropriate to be in the documents. I believe policy might be the best place for it, and so I'll make sure I make the change before next meeting.
Okay.
And I'm open to whatever the board thinks would be the most effective way of dealing with this. We could have another workshop, or if you want, just let me know what your feelings are on specific items that you have an interest in. Yeah. And
well, can we agendize this as a workshop and have action on it? Should we find that we've reached that point where we're in agreement? At the January 2nd meeting?
Sure.
If we find that that workshop isn't enough, we can continue it on again. But
right.
I think that we've been carrying this on now for a couple of months. We should be prepared to,
right.
to take action.
And
on
what
it.
What I'll try to do is put together a package of the policies that I think are affected by this into a single packet and make sure it's available to everybody well before the meeting.
Okay.
I think it's a very important document for our county at this point, because Pat has done a wonderful job in past operations for our county, but he suggested that maybe he wants to fish in Oklahoma or somewhere, maybe Colorado, and at one day in the future. So I believe we are making future plans for a future position, and I'm glad we're taking our time and focused on the detail. So if that takes a bit more time, then that's, in my opinion, appropriate.
Well, my thought here, too, is that, you know, the county manager runs the county, and he's overseeing all these other departments. And so everything circles around him. So I don't want to tie his hands behind his back and say, here, run the county. So I want to be careful there.
Okay. So how about a motion to continue this to January the 2nd?
Okay. I'll make a motion to continue item 14 to January 2nd, 2018.
I'll second.
Moving to second to continue this item to January the 2nd, 2018. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right.
Thank you.
Moving along now. Item number 15, we're going to go ahead and recess as Astoria County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Astoria County Liquor License Board. Bringing up item 16, which is discussion and possible action. The first reading for an off-sale liquor license. The applicant is Carol Malley, owner of Virginia City RV Park, LLC, locates at 355 North F Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
I can take this one.
Okay.
And it is a first reading. So I have talked to the sheriff. I'm getting positive nods from Sergeant Kern. The recommendation from the sheriff's office will be to approve this first reading. We are operating under the sheriff's authority to issue temporary licenses to this business for liquor, and they will be continuing to go through the process. Also, the building department weighed in and says he's comfortable with this approach as well. They haven't done any inspections yet. But our big concern has always been with any business, regardless of whether it's the RV park, a restaurant, anything, really anything, that there be almost a seamless change of ownership with no business interruption. So the recommendation is to approve this first reading, and there'll be a second reading, hopefully, at that January 2nd meeting.
Very good. All right. Is there any public comment regarding this off-sale liquor license application? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll gladly make a motion to approve the first reading of off-sale liquor license for Virginia City RV Park, LLC, located at 355 North F Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
I'll second your motion.
And moving to second to approve the first reading of this off-sale liquor license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, this time we're going to adjourn as the Astoria County Liquor License Board and reconvene as the Astoria County Board of County Commissioners. Next up on our list is item 18. This is discussion and possible action. Mr. Osborne.
You want to put on the record?
Yeah, let's
hold on.
Can we revisit the off-sale liquor license and just have yourself and Commissioner Gilman disclose the existence of your own licenses?
We don't have any off-sale liquor licenses.
Okay.
Okay.
My bad, sorry.
But it was a good catch. You have to have been a catch. Mr. Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne, planning for the record. This item here is the first reading of ordinances and resolutions pertaining to what I discussed earlier was the Title 16 update, the Title 17 update, the Planned Unit Development update, and the update to various other matters dealing with fees and other planning issues. At this time, the Planning Commission still has not taken action yet on these items, so we're asking to continue these to specific dates. And on the back page here under the recommended motion, it is all set for that. And hold on one moment here. And then we're going to ask to continue these to the December 5 County Commission meeting here at the Story County Courthouse. And then the Planning Commission is anticipating taking action on these on November 16th. And once again, the reason for the anticipated continuation is because we recognize that the second meeting in November was going to be canceled. And that is the date that this is already posted on.
Okay, very good. That's it. Is there any public comment regarding the first reading of ordinance number 17-279? Okay. Nothing on that. So if we can go ahead and get a motion to continue this to December the 5th.
Based on recommendations by staff, I, Commissioner Jeffy, motion to continue the following to December 5th, 2017, meeting of the Board of Story County Commissioners to be held at the Story County Courthouse, District Courtroom, 26 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
I'll second your motion.
And move to the second.
Mr. Commissioners, I know it's a pain. I can read it for you, or you can read it if you like. I'm going to ask that the whole thing be read because there's more than one ordinance in this.
Okay. To continue on.
Since you have it open right in front of you, go right ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll go ahead and just read it. Not a problem. So what you're continuing is the first reading of the following things. Ordinance number 17-279, amending Story County Code Title 16 subdivisions to adopt new codes for land subdivisions, parcel maps, division of land into large parcels, surety requirements, land readjustment, boundary line adjustments, and reversion to acreage. And ordinance number 17-280, amending Story County Code Title 17 zoning, including Chapter 1703 administrative provisions, 1710 definitions, 1712 general provisions, 1715 public zone, 1724 agriculture zone, 1728 commercial zone, 1730 commercial residential zone, 1732 forestry zone, 1734 light industrial zone, 1735 heavy industrial zone, 1740 estate zone, 1744 special planning review zone, and 1784 signs and billboards. And ordinance number 17-278, amending Story County Code 1756, planned unit developments, to revise the procedures for approval of planned unit developments, and approval of resolution number 17-474 to the Board of Story County Commissioners with a recommendation by the Planning Commission adopting a design criteria and improvement manual setting forth certain development and design standards and guidelines for residential and non-residential planned unit developments, multifamily residential complexes, and other uses. And Resolution 17-461 to the Board of Story County Commissioners with recommendation by the Planning Commission determining and consolidating all planning fees, including removing certain fees from the code and placing them into the resolution. In addition to the provisions of NRS, any person may complete and return to the board or the Planning Commission or a statement supporting or opposing the proposed amendments to the county code and zoning ordinance and resolutions. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for reading that. Okay. Get a motion to continue this?
Yes. Well, I started off saying the motion to continue to December 5th. So I'll make the motion to continue it as read to December 5th meeting at the Board of Story County Commissioners to be held at Story County Courthouse, District Courtroom, 26 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Okay.
I'll second your motion.
Motion been moved and second to approve continuing this item to December 5th, 2017. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
I have a question for Austin on this. So you read off all these changes and the proposals in this 17-279?
17-279 is only one ordinance.
Okay, well, all right. So
hold on a second.
So you listed all these items. So when we come back next month, will any of those items change or go away or be added to this?
The only thing you're going to see different is they're going to be all in an individual agenda item for each of those ordinances and resolutions. So there'll be a couple pages of action. We'll just take one at a time.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering why read it all if there's a potential for a change.
The reason I did read it all is zoning can be very particular, and if one tiny thing isn't quite right, then you know it could be challenged. Right. So all of these have been posted already per NRS, and we just want to make sure that posting stays consistent through the whole Planning Commission and board process.
Right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Not a problem. Thanks.
All right. Next up is item 19, discussion of possible action.
No. 20, isn't it?
I think it's 19. Commissioner Gilman? We have an amended special use permit 2000-217-A1-2017. Arrest by the applicant Basalite Concrete Products, LLC, to increase the annual mining capacity from the 1999 Story County approved 200,000 tons per year to 500,000 tons per year. The project includes identifying a new area of surface mining. Activities approximately 12 acres in size, adjacent to existing mining areas at the top of the mountain owned by the applicant, and approval of future watchman's dwelling. The property is located at 1150 North Pine Nut Road, Mark Twain area, Story County, Nevada, APNs 004-291-09, 13-25-45-47.
Kathy? Thank you. Kathy Canfield for the record. This is an amended special use permit. They had an original special use permit in 1999, granted by the county. They're requesting to increase the capacity from 200,000 tons a year to 500,000 tons a year. That will be done incrementally. It's not going to be something that occurs overnight. They're anticipating it'll take about 5 years to reach that number based on the demands that they're seeing in the marketplace. They've identified a new 12-acre site that's at the top of the mountain that's immediately adjacent to an area that they're already mining. That can be shown on page 4 of your staff report. The red area that's shown on that map. The green area is currently being mined, and so is that blue area that's shown on that map. As part of the application, we've included the potential for a watchman's dwelling. They don't really have any plans for it immediately, but this permit, special use permit, would be good for 20 years, and so we tried to anticipate all the other things that might come up during that 20-year time period. We've also anticipated that they'll have equipment replacement needs and updated technology for that. So we've included that into the special use permit. They would still have to follow any building permit requirements for when they wanted to do that, but they wouldn't have to necessarily come back to the planning department for this and amend the special use permit. The mine itself has been in operation since 1946, and the Story County Master Plan has identified the mine is being important to the county. This is a use that we want to encourage and keep. We've also, in the past, looked at the surrounding zoning of land And actually, the county has rezoned some of that land from estates to forestries to actually add a buffer to where the mine is compared to the properties. The properties accessed through BLM land. The mine itself takes care of and maintains that road, and then it goes into to Lyon County and then goes out to Highway 50. The conditions that we've put into the permit are consistent with how the permit was set up for Comstock mining. This operation isn't nearly as complex as the Comstock mining. They're not in the Comstock Historic Preservation Area. They don't have the closeness of the residential around it, but the topics and that are similar to the Comstock mining, so we're keeping these consistent. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the project. We did have some discussion. There was two sets of property owners that came to the meeting to discuss it. One was in favor of the project. The other just had some concerns about some noise that they heard from the Mark Twain subdivision area. The applicants at that time had talked with them, and I think they've had some further discussions with them so they can go forward with that. The applicants are also represented here today. So if there's any questions, okay. I'd be happy to answer.
Thanks, Kathy.
Go ahead, Jack. So I attended that Planning Commission meeting. It was held in Mark Twain. There was two different couples there, and one was actually praised the Basalite for being a good neighbor. They've actually suppressed a fire out there, I guess. So they were grateful of that. The other couple was just there because they were concerned about the noise and more noise coming, you know. But they were put in contact with the applicant to help them kind of work it out at their own table. So I didn't see anything detrimental in not giving them a new permit, I guess is what it is.
Amended
use permit, yeah.
Okay. Did you have any comments, Lance?
No, no comments.
Okay, how about if we open up for public comment? You have any public comment regarding this amended special use permit?
Sam Toll, for the record, it is now. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am familiar with the Basalite Company. They were one of my clients in the Sacramento Valley. I can assure you that they're a great citizen of the community. My question is financially regarded, surprise, surprise. Does this increase in volume have a financial impact on the county?
Kathy, can you?
I can probably have the applicant also do that, but for selling, generating more rock and quarry would have additional
more sales.
Sales.
Well, I'm not so sure. Are you guys on net proceeds of mines?
You know, I don't know how our licenses are.
Why
don't
we
have
them come up?
Yeah.
Why don't you come on up to the podium, identify yourself for the record, and then that way we'll get you in the minutes.
Jeremy Anthony, for the record, general manager for Basalite Concrete Products. Don't know that we're on net proceeds. So I would anticipate a financial impact to the county positively, but I don't know what they are specifically. So.
Okay. And I would like to clarify the record. I can't see where this is going to be a retail tax generator for the county. This is mining a product, whether it's subject to net proceeds of mines or not, going off for processing somewhere else for sale somewhere else generally. So I would say potentially no. We will follow up through the comptroller's office to see what the taxing mechanisms are to more accurately answer that because we're interested in the question. But
are only precious metals subject to net proceeds?
I think so, but it's one of those taxation mysteries that I'd just soon verify through Tom here.
There'd be no known expense to the county for the expansion of the amended special use permit. Basalites is a long established Story County business, and there's never been, as far as I know, I've lived here my entire life, I've never known there ever be any problems with the mine down there. I think they run a well-oiled machine. So.
That's my experience as well. Again, they're spectacular citizens with my experience. I just was curious as to whether or not there would be any windfall. And it's probably not going to be, because the revenue that we might get would be through the Department of Taxation based upon whatever profits they have generated. So probably not. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Great. Thank you, Jeremy.
With regard to some of the comments from the last meeting, our plant superintendent manager has met with some of the local people and went down and kind of took a new perspective on what was the biggest comment was about noise generation. And so we've already begun to address it with some berming that should redirect noise and some sound dampening devices around the machinery. So we're addressing that currently. Hopefully we come to some immediate.
I think the biggest controversy was the name change of the mountain, wasn't it?
Could have been.
Great. Thank you. Any other public comment regarding this amended special use permit? Hearing none, if I can get a motion for approval.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact. Did you need to read the findings of fact?
Yeah, that's it. If we're going to approve this, yeah. Kathy, if you go ahead and read the findings of fact, the motion of approval.
All right.
Thanks, Jack.
This approval is for an amended special use permit 2000-217-A1-2017. Request by applicant Basalite Concrete Products, LLC, to increase the annual mining capacity from the 1999 Story County approved 200,000 tons per year to 500,000 tons per year. The project includes identifying a new area of surface mining activities, approximately 12 acres in size adjacent to the existing mining areas at the top of the mountain owned by the applicant, and approval of a future watchman's dwelling. The property is located at 1150 North Pine Nut Road, Mark Twain area, Story County, Nevada, APN 004-291-09-1325-45-47. The amended special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Mark Twain planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2E of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The subject property is located within I-2 heavy industrial and forestry zoning in the Mark Twain area of Story County. The project is identified as a large operation per Section 17.92 of the Story County Zoning Ordinance. Special use permit is required for both the zoning districts and the large operation use. Granting of the amended special use permit with the conditions of approval listed in Section 4 of this report will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons, property in the neighborhood of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property improvements in the neighborhood or the area of the subject property. The project is expected to meet the safety and health requirements for the subject area. The amended special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the amended special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the Story County Zoning Ordinance, Section 17.35 I-2 Heavy Industrial Zone, Section 17.32F Forestry Zone, Section 17.92 Mineral Exploration, Mining, and Extraction, and Section 17.03.150 Special Uses. Certain mineral and surface property rights exist across the county, and the zoning ordinance serves to protect those rights. The zoning ordinance also recognizes and serves to abide by the Mining Law of 1872, which provides mineral property right property owners the right to mine where the property is a mine patent pursuant to Title 30 of the United States Code, Section 29, or an unpatented mining claim located pursuant to Section 23, as well as the right to milling and ancillary uses pursuant to Section 42A. The county has a diversified economy, including agriculture, commercial, industrial, tourism, recreation, and mining. Permitted uses under these categories are found to be economically and socially beneficial to the county, directly and indirectly, when they are appropriately regulated so they do not cause substantial adverse impacts to adjacent uses and are not detrimental to the health, safety, and general welfare of citizens, property owners, scholars, and businesses in the county. The provisions of the zoning ordinance serve to address and mitigate potential adverse impacts that mining and related activities may have on the natural and historic environment and adjacent land uses, example, residential, commercial, tourism, etc., as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the County Master Plan, Title 17, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The project is not located within the Virginia City National Historic Landmark, nor is it part of the Comstock Historic Preservation Area identified in Chapter 17.92 of the Story County Code. This mine has been in operation for approximately 71 years. The 2016 Story County Master Plan states that the mine should be a continued use and Story County should protect the long-term well-being of the quarry mine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. McGuffey? Okay. Again, in accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve amended special use permit number 2000-217-A1-2017. A request by the applicant Basalite Concrete Products, LLC, to increase the annual mining capacity from the 1999 Story County approved 200,000 tons per year to 500,000 tons per year. The project includes identifying a new area of surface mining activities, approximately 12 acres in size, adjacent to the existing mining area at the top of the mountain, owned by the applicant, and approval of a future watchman's dwelling. The property is located at 1150 North Pine Nut Road, Mark Twain area, Story County, Nevada, Assessor's Parcel Number 004-291-09-13-25-45-47.
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved and seconded to amend the special use permit 2000-217-A1-2017. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. We only have one item. Okay. We're going to take about a 5-minute recess.